Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, out of and with all your soul, your life, out of and with all your mind, your with your faculty of thought and with your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. Jesus seems to be saying that that love involves action, involves something that you do, but it also involves this internal transformation. Jesus' answer shifts the conversation away from do to become. So religious leaders have all this knowledge about who God is, and so they present themselves as spiritually mature, and certainly everyone around there would have thought of those guys as spiritually mature. they have envy and fear and anger and that they're not dealing with. So while they might be doing the right things, they're not becoming the right people. And this is Jesus' problem with them. Loving God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and strength means that that you deal with how you feel so that you can obey Christ's commands. I mean, Jesus seems to be saying there is no spiritual maturity without emotional maturity. But you've experienced this. You've experienced this in your life. Certainly with Christians, they present themselves as spiritually mature, but they're certainly not emotionally mature. All of us are born with like 25 to 30 emotions, and they're a blessing. Our ability to feel emotions is one of the things that makes us like God. But life teaches us to push some of those emotions down, to turn them off. So earlier this year, I was with the Sanders and the Hildreths. The Hildreths invited us to go to this conference in Lansing, and I heard this powerful message about how we should learn to deal with our feelings. And I wanted to share it with you. One of the things they brought up is this. We end up with this tangled box of emotions that we never unpack. And we're not really sure what's in there. And certainly human emotions are complex, and often we leave them unresolved. You have something that, like Montina referenced, you have some trauma that happened in your life and you've left it unresolved, and you never talked about it, or you never dealt with it, or you never let yourself feel it. And so ideally what we would do is we'd unpack the box by taking what we feel and presenting it before the Lord and his people. So if you have some kind of feeling of bad blood with your mom because she never lived up to the kind of person you wanted her to be, you would unpack that and present that to the Lord, and then the Lord would help you bring that back tame. But the problem, obviously, is that we don't unpack the box. Maybe because we're afraid, maybe because you don't know you don't want to have to face some of the things that you feel. And so, because we don't unpack the box, those emotions have a lot of power over you. It's the reason why you can't learn from others. It's the reason why conflict scares you so much. It's the reason why you get your feelings hurt all the time over just things that... It's the reason why you have a fragile sense of self. So one of the reasons that sin comes so easily to us is not just what we do, it's a part of who we are. It's things that we feel that we never bother to investigate, we never try to look into. And I'm so busy trying to do the right things that I never address how I feel. But Jesus wants me to be the right person. He wants me to be the right person. And I never get around to that because I don't want to deal with how I feel. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. If I don't deal with how I feel, there will be some of Jesus' commandments that I will not be able to keep as much as I try. As much as I try. One example is this. One example is this. When Jesus was on earth, he says this command to his followers. He says, do not be anxious about your life. How do you follow that command when you're anxious? Like, if someone's feeling anxious, how well does it work to command them not to be anxious? In that case, we aren't even capable of keeping the command that Jesus has given, even if we wanted to. The book of Philippians tells us what to do, though. It says this. Listen, do not be anxious about anything. We got that part. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what Philippians is getting at is this idea of, I've got something, I've got anxiousness in me, and I need to take that and present it before the Lord. Put that in front of him. Instead of pretending I don't have it, instead of worrying about it, I take that and I lay it out before him. And when I do that, he brings that back into me tame. But I'm so busy and I'm moving, I'm trying to fix it myself and do all I can to manage it on my own. As long as I'm doing that, I'll never be able to keep the command that Jesus has given me. So when Jesus says, love God with out of and with your whole heart, you cannot do it if you haven't dealt with the stuff that's in here. Here's God's prayer for us. It's from 1 Thessalonians. Listen to this. May the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. And just pause and just think about. I think I want to read this to you, but let's make it a prayer. You keep your eyes open and you can read along, but let's make it a prayer together for each other. May the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. Separate you from profane things things make you pure and holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that happen because you're doing the right things? When you don't do that, the emotions that you don't unpack will have a lot of power over you. Let me share an example from that Rex just read. I'll read it again. And when I read, I want you to look for all the emotions packed into these 10 verses, some articulated, some not. Watch for the emotion or reasons for emotion. So here's the story of the family line of Jacob. Joseph was a young man. He was 17 years old. He was taking care of the flocks with some of his brothers. They were the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, the wives of his father, Jacob. Joseph brought their father a bad report about his brothers. Israel loves Joseph more than any of his other sons. That's because Joseph had been born to him when he was old. Israel made him a beautiful robe. Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, so they hated Joseph. They couldn't even speak one kind word to him. Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to the dream I had. We were tying up bundles of grain out of the field. Suddenly, my bundle stood up straight. Your bundles gathered around my bundle and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you plan to be king over us? Will you really rule over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream. They didn't like what he had said. Then Joseph had another dream. He told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. This time the sun and moon and stars were bowing down to me." He told his father as well as his brothers. Then his father rebuked him. He said, "What about this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers really do that? We really come and bow down to the ground in front of you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the dreams in mind. Tons of emotion packed in here. Just focusing on the brothers. And obviously we see feelings of neglect and hurt. We see resentment and hostility and fear and hate and envy and jealousy. It's hard not to see how refusing to unpack their emotions gives, you know, it just has so much power over them. When Joseph shares a dream, it infuriates them. Why can't they just move on from that dream? You know, that it certainly, and certainly, God in the Old Testament, some of you guys know in ancient times, God often spoke through dreams, but he's sharing a dream that may or may not come true. How come they can't be like, "Well, we'll see. We'll see if that turns out or not"? Why can't they just move on from it? They had to at least think that it was possible that it could happen. And they despised that dream. They despised the idea of that coming true. And it's almost like in that moment, the brothers weren't capable of obeying the command to love wholeheartedly because they had so much emotion packed in there they hadn't allowed themselves to face. So in most families, this is probably your experience, and this is my experience. In most families, there's only like 5 to 7 emotions that are allowed and encouraged. Like in Joseph's family, anger's allowed. They allow themselves to feel anger. Apparently, hate is allowed, but sadness is not. The brothers have a right to be sad. That their dad prefers their brother to all of them. It says this: "Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons." That's awful. It's heartbreaking. But they don't give themselves permission to feel that. They transfer that to fury, hate, rage. And here's what happens. They transfer all that energy from the jealousy that's not allowed to emotions that are allowed, that can't be controlled. So anger and rage and bitterness and hate, and the call of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit is to allow God to have access to those areas to say, "Hey, listen, come into my space. Take a look at this. I'm putting this before you." But we just don't take the time to bother to do that. It's dangerous when we refuse to. So one of my mentors was talking to a young man he was talking to a young man about his emotional and mental health. And the young man had been abused by his father, and he refused to talk about it. He refused to pull those feelings out and put them out in front of everyone to discuss with the Lord. He refused to mess with it. And there was so much anger. This is my mentor said this to that young man. He says this: "You've got dynamite in your basement, and it's coming. You've got dynamite in your basement. The work of the Spirit and the work of God's people in your life is designed to bring about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. The brothers could not be kind. When they saw that their dad loved Joseph, it broke their hearts and they hated Joseph. It says they could not even speak one kind word to him. And here's why. Here's why. The emotions that you don't unpack will have a lot of power over you. So listen to this. Joseph went to look for his brothers, and he found them near Dothan. But they saw him a long way off. Before he reached them, they made plans to kill him. This is your brother. Here comes that dreamer. They said to one another, come, let's kill him. Most certainly, there are people in your life that you can't stand. If you're in a circle of people and they start a conversation, hey, here comes Daryl, let's kill him. You should be, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? But they're all there. It's all there because all of them are not unpacking any of the things they're feeling. Come, let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of these empty wells. Let's say that a wild animal killed him. Then we'll see. Here come. Then we'll see whether his dreams come true. When Joseph came to his brothers, he was wearing his beautiful robe. They took it away from him. Why didn't they just throw him in the well with the robe? Why'd they take it away from him? They threw him in a well. The well was empty. There was no water. And then they sat down to eat their meal. Why do you think the author tells us that they ate after all this? Like, we don't hear about all their other meal times. Yeah. So I think what it's saying is like all these, when you guys watch the first 48 or whatever, you know, and they sit down and the person kills somebody and then they say, oh, I'm going to microwave something to eat. The author wants you to know just how vicious these guys are, just how hard-hearted. They can plan to kill someone and just sit down to eat like it's nothing. They became that person because they're not bringing their envy and bitterness and jealousy. They have a right to be jealous. But they're not taking it before the Lord, and it turns it to dynamite. The emotions we don't unpack, we will transfer to other emotions that we will allow. But then also this, we will transfer those emotions to something physical. Something we can control. So the brothers have held their fears and envy and jealousy in check as long as they could, but now they want to express their feelings physically, and it's almost like they can't help themselves. Pressure builds up in the box and expresses themselves physically in crazy and odd, dysfunctional ways, and you don't know what to do with your emotions, but somehow, think of this. You don't know what to do with your emotions, but somehow it feels better when you're eating your favorite food, right? Somehow you take those feelings and put them into something physical. So for me, let me be more personal. I don't know what to do with my feelings of insecurity or inadequacy or inferiority, but somehow I feel better about myself when I preach. Somehow, it feels like it covers. And it's obvious, I mean, obviously, if you're thinking about this at all, it's obvious to you that preaching can't be my healing. It's a cheap substitute. Whatever we're using to deal with how we feel won't solve it, is this. Taking whatever you feel and bringing it out before the Lord so that he can help you deal with it. And in the light, in the light. He helps you bring back those emotions tame. But if you don't, you got dynamite in your basement. You got dynamite in your basement. If we do that, then we'll be freed up to love God out of and with our whole hearts. So, how do we as Christians engage with the emotional health, the mental health in a kind and caring way with ourselves and with each other? And this, what if there's a way to blend mental health and spiritual health with the restorative mission of Christ? So, in a couple weeks, I want to talk more about how we learn to bring our emotions to God. But in the meantime, would you pray and ask God this? Would you ask him, if you have emotions, if you have feelings in you that are keeping you from loving him out of and with your whole heart, would you ask him, if you have emotions in you, if you have feelings in you that are keeping you from loving him out of and with your whole heart? Just begin there. Start with that. And then we'll go forward. Let me pray that you and I would be able to do that. Dear Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. We pray that your kingdom would come in our hearts fully and completely, and your will would be done in our emotions fully and completely. That you would give us what we need to face what we feel. You would help us to forgive people in our lives who haven't done that, who hurt us because they haven't figured out how to bring their emotions before you. But lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into the temptation of thinking that we're too smart to have to deal with our feelings, or we're too busy to have to deal with our feelings, or we're too spiritual to deal with that. Lead us away from those temptations. And even if we think we got it all together, I pray that you'd help us to just pray. Just ask you, is there anything that I'm feeling that's going on in my heart that's keeping me from loving you out of and with my whole heart? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.